Welcome to the Dope Black Woman podcast, the podcast where we share stories of Black excellence as part of our safe digital sisterhood. I'm Leanne Levos.
I'm Rashan, but you can call me Shan.
I'm Livs.
Hey, everybody.
Hey.
How's it going?
You know, we're surviving. We're out here. We're surviving.
What week are we in now? I don't even know.
55. Who knows, man? I think 10, maybe.
Oh, God. Okay. It doesn't actually feel... When people tell me how long it's been, it never feels as long as they say it is, even though it feels long. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But within the context of COVID and lockdown and anything and everything else, I'm sure everybody's spending a lot more time in close proximity to people that they love, whether it's parents or siblings, really good friends, housemates, relationships. And so you're spending a lot more time with people, and there's probably more likelihood that people are going to get involved in not altercations, but disagreements or fights, maybe sometimes physical, I don't know. But so this week we want to talk about how we're all navigating those relationships and how we navigate forgiveness generally. So it's really interesting that we're talking about this because I've been reading this book, which I think everybody should read, called The Forgiveness Project, that talks about how to forgive, if you should forgive, all this kind of stuff. And I'm really interested to hear, do you guys find it easy to forgive people generally, or is it like a, or is it something that you find difficult to do?
I think I'm someone who doesn't like conflict. And so I will say I forgive someone, but I might not necessarily in my heart. So,
but how do you know? Because what if you've forgiven them but you haven't forgotten? Because I feel like you could forgive someone and then you still thinking about it, and it doesn't mean you haven't forgiven them, you just haven't forgot it.
Yeah.
But
do you mean like that, or do you mean like you're just saying it but you actually haven't forgiven them?
Well, I guess that's a good point. What do you guys define as forgiveness?
I think forgiveness is that you are able to make peace with this. And it's not something that you feel like you said everything you need to say on the issue. And I feel like I don't always do that. Sometimes I'm like, oh, do you know what? It's not worth the beef, or it's not worth the drama. So I don't know. I think that's different from don't forget it. Because it's not... I don't know. Do you know what I mean? It's like you are...
I feel like that's different though, because I feel like you're talking about closure. Because when you're saying like, if like you have an argument with your friend and you can't bother to deal with the argument, and then you decide to move on, and then you don't get to... If you have an argument with your friend and then you think like, you know what, it's been a long time and let me just leave it, I can't bother to dive into it. You might have still forgiven them for that argument, but you might not have got off your chest certain things you wanted to get off. Do you get what I mean? It's like that argument that you had, you didn't have proper closure on.
I do, but then is that forgiveness?
But I think it depends how you define it. So I can't say I'm going to forgive someone and then keep bringing whatever the issue was up, or the thing's going to keep being on my head. Then I haven't forgiven them. Do you get what I mean? So I'm someone, I find it really easy, it's like if someone does something wrong, to be like, okay, someone made a mistake, they're an adult, we can move on and let's just leave it at that. But then I also am someone who likes to have that closure where we talk things through, so we can gain an understanding on it, because then it normally minimises or reduces it happening again. Do you get what I mean? But for me, if I'm going to forgive someone, I can't, or someone's going to forgive me, they can't bring it back up. So if we had an argument, let's say 2 years ago, you can't today be bringing it up in this chat. Do you know what I mean? Like, well, Shan, this, like, what, how? When you forgive someone, you put something to bed, like, you bury it. Like, that is the end of it. And I feel like for some people, they can't forgive someone until they've had that closure, or they can't forgive someone until they've seen, like, change or some sort of reward. I guess it depends on what they're forgiving them for.
So there's actually this really interesting quote, and I think the idea is that maybe we all find forgiveness in different ways, but there's this really interesting quote which I think kind of sums up what both Shan and Liz are saying, and it says, to forgive, in my view, is the best form of self-interest. The process of forgiving does not exclude hatred or anger. These emotions are all part of being human. When I speak of forgiveness, I speak of the ability to let go of the right to revenge and the right to let go of hoping that things will be any different from what they are. So I think for me, the way I've tried to navigate forgiveness moving forward in my own life is like, I know I've forgiven somebody when I accept things the way they are, and I no longer wish that we could go back and change the past or try and keep rehashing the past as if to get some sort of different outcome. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you make up with the person, like Shan said. It might mean that you both agree that actually you're parting ways and you'll never speak again, and that's just kind of, but that doesn't mean that you haven't let go of the situation, which I think is different from what Liz is saying, whereas sometimes you, I think what you're saying is that sometimes you feel like you want to say more, but you don't, because you just don't want to go through the process of the arguments, right?
Yeah, I think I definitely got better as I've got older, but growing up, and even in the last few years, I was definitely someone who was more, who found it easier to apologize, who found it easier to say, oh, I'm sorry, even if I felt like I still had a point to make, or still feel like I had an argument to have, but just didn't want the conflict. And so,
well, that's mature.
I mean, it is mature, but it's also, it also can be very damaging, because you end up being someone who,
who's like silencing yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it depends on the scenario. Because I feel like with what you're saying, that's something that I need to, with a particular person, practice. Do you get what I mean?
Mm.
So like, even if you know you're in the right, or if even if you know that person's wrong, just not saying something back, that's something that needs to be in practice. But then I think what you're saying about, it's interesting that you say that sometimes it's damaging, because that's the reason why I struggle sometimes to do it, because you do feel like you're being silenced. Do you get what I mean? And no one deserves to feel like that. Because most of the time, if you're being silent, it's because of like a barrier of communication between you and that person. Because I'm sure you don't have that issue with everybody. Do you get what I mean? There might be a select few people that you have that with, and it might be because that person lacks accountability. So therefore, you are going to feel exhausted to have these conversations, because it's not going to get anywhere. Mm. Or that person's someone who's always going to avoid what you're saying. Like, there's some people that will actually, you will tell them, the sky's blue, yeah? And have the mathematics, the scientists, the God, the Bible, everything that tells you the sky's blue. But because they don't like seeing you be in the right, they'll say that the sky's black. There's some people that are like that. And I think when you notice, when you find those people, you have to, your approach that you're saying is so much more better for your own psyche, because otherwise you end up fighting this brick wall of someone who, even if they know deep down that the sky is blue, they're still going to tell you it's black.
I guess, which feeling is worse?
I think with my experience, it's less been about individuals, but it's more been about, I've been reading a lot recently about attachment styles. And in relationships, your attachment style, and I'm definitely an anxious, I definitely have an anxious attachment style, and being someone who over apologizes is definitely kind of a key characteristic of an anxious person, because you always, you're more likely to doubt yourself, and you're more likely to, what's the right words I'm thinking of? But you get what I'm saying. You're more likely to be like, oh, I think I must be in the wrong in this situation. And you're more likely to apologize. And sometimes I've been in situations where the person's been like, you know, you don't need to actually apologize. Like, you can acknowledge what's wrong here without saying I'm sorry. But sometimes I feel such a need to apologize. So I think that in turn can have a complicated relationship with forgiveness, when you always feel like you're the one that's wrong, even when you're not.
Mm.
Sorry, just to go back, there are different forms of attachment styles. Do you know what, like, can you explain a little bit what attachment styles are?
Yeah, so an attachment style is basically how you approach relationships in general. So it could be romantic, it could be friendship. And there are three main ones. Secure attachment style, which means, you know, you find it easy to get close to people. You don't fear that people will run away. You don't fear that things could go terribly wrong. Like, you have a healthy relationship with those around you, which is a very small percentage of the population. And the other two main ones are anxious and avoidant. So anxious attachment styles are people who often have grown up in complicated households or have complicated relationships with their parents. They may have not always seen affection growing up. They kind of yearn to be accepted. They need reassurance. And then avoidant attachment styles are people who find it difficult to get close to others. They kind of think of themselves as a one-man band and that they shouldn't rely on others. And that they find it difficult to be vulnerable and emotionally available. So I think what usually happens is that anxious attachment style individuals are more likely to apologize, and avoidants are more likely to find it difficult to forgive because they're more likely to hold on to resentment.
That's interesting. I think if I think about it in that context, I may be avoidant because as much as I preach and advocate people to forgive, I also find it extremely difficult to forgive. And more from the perspective of what Shan was saying, in the sense that I might still maintain a relationship with that person, but I'm never going to forget what they did. And it will be hard for me to return to the same intensity of the relationship moving forward. Like, I'll never be able to get as close to the person as I was before. But obviously all of this go ahead, Sharon, sorry.
I was gonna say, I just think it's hard though, because I feel like there's definitely been scenarios where in the moment I felt like, oh, I can't forgive this person. You know what, actually, I wasn't even thinking of this, but I'll use my dad as an example, yeah? And this is kind of deep, but let me land, yeah? So like 2 years ago, it might have been more, but I think it's roughly 2 years ago, I could not have cared if he was dead or alive. Like, I didn't have any care about his well-being. And it's not that I wished him to be dead, because obviously I didn't. But I just didn't care, because I was so exhausted from our relationship. I was so drained from our, like, felt like I was being talking to a brick wall. Or I felt like there was such a lack of understanding on both ends of how we viewed each other, what our personalities were like. Do you get what I mean? So it was like, time and time again, I'd forgive him when something would go wrong or he would let me down. I would keep forgiving him. And then what would happen is it would keep happening again, and there was just no change. And even if I tried to talk to him, I just felt like I was talking to a brick wall. But if you fast forward to now, my dad's like my best friend. And even, like, you guys know how much I talk about my mum all the time. My dad's on par now with my mum in terms of how close I am to him. And I could have been at that time, I could have been, what some people were advising me to do is basically just burn his bridge. Like, even my friends who have positive relationships with their dad, they're like, Rashan, he upsets you so much, just leave it. But because I just wished and hoped for more, I'm able to get to where we are now. And I don't even know how we got to how we are now. Do you get what I mean?
I was just going to ask, like, you remember, how you got there.
I don't even know, you know. I don't know. I think maybe my aunt that I talked to you about a lot, maybe she's got something to do with it and I just don't know. Because I know that's something that, I know that her seeing us have conflict is something that really, really upsets her. Because me and her would only ever argue if it was to do with my dad, because she'd always side with him, and I used to find it really frustrating. Like, even if he was wrong, she would be like, but this happened to him when he was a child, or like something like that. That was just really irritating. But now he's literally like my best friend. So sometimes it's like, the point that I'm making is that with forgiveness, it really does depend on the person and the situation. And I think where you are at, because something could happen to you today that I could do as an example, that you could be like, I can't believe she's done that. How could she do that with me? I would never do that again. And in 5 years' time, you're like, actually, looking back, I get it now. She done that because of this. That's not how I would have handled it, but I get why she did that. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah, it's funny.
And at that point, when you get that clarity, you're like, I can move on from it and forgive them. But you just don't know you're going to get there.
It's funny, because I think for me, I had a very similar situation with my dad, where growing up, same, like, we did not like each other. There would be months that would go by. We grew up in the same house, I grew up in the same house as him, and we would not speak for months at a time. And it was really, like your aunt said, about understanding his upbringing and why he was who he was, that made me able to let go of certain things that had happened between us, even though he didn't necessarily change his behavior. I mean, I'm assuming your dad has become better in terms of not disappointing you and stuff like that, or is it that he's just, you've come to a better understanding of how he is?
No. It's the first one. Like, he's come to a better. Like, he's active. He's actually, like... The thing is, I've always said to my friends, my dad has always been there. He just hasn't always felt like he's been there. Mm. Whereas now, I know he's there. Like, I talk to him, I think, every single day. Do you get what I mean? He knows what's going on in my personal life. Romantic, school... Not school. Romantic, work, finance. Like, he knows everything. Before, he didn't know. Like... He came to my graduation. I don't know if he even knows that I graduated. but I know that I was on his WhatsApp picture for like days afterwards. Aww. And he was the proudest dad in the world, but not knowing what he was proud for. Do you get what I mean? Like, no, but do you get it? Like, yeah, at that time, when he came to the graduation, I was like, well, let me tell you, this is a sidetrack, but I'll quickly tell you the story. I was adamant he wasn't coming. I was like, he can't come. I didn't get him a ticket to come. I got bare extra tickets. And then my aunt, yeah, remember I told you before how she always used to get in the middle of it. She was like, oh, I need a spare ticket to give to my daughter so she can drive me down. And I was like, okay, no problem. I'll get it for you. The day before, unfortunately, she's unable to come. So your dad's going to have to bring me. I'm like, no, he doesn't. Someone else can bring you. She's like, oh, Vishan, it would just be really nice if he was there. And then when he came, it literally was so nice. Like, when he came, he paid for, there was like 10 of us. He paid for all of our meals. Like, when we went out for a meal, he paid for everyone to eat. He paid for all the pictures to come. So all of my photos that I got because of him. And I got loads of them. Do you get what I mean? So it ended up being a good time. But even though that happened, I still hadn't forgiven him for a lot of things then. But it's just interesting about this topic that came into my head now. Because it's like, there's a lot of things that before I didn't realise, that I didn't realise until today that I've actually forgiven him for now.
Mm. And you guys, I mean, how is that working out in terms of lockdown? Because obviously I know you've been kind of going back and forth between houses and how are your relationships, both Liv and Shan, with your parents? Because both of you are isolating with your parents, right?
Yeah, I've always lived at home with both my mum and my dad. My older brother moved out into his own flat about 2 years ago. And I was just... I think it's so funny. All three of us have complicated relationships with our fathers. Trauma!
Next week's episode, daddy.
Oh my God, we have to do a daddy issues.
Oh, stop it now. But yeah, and I think similarly to what you guys have said, as I've got older, I've become more understanding to his behaviour is a direct reflection of his childhood and his adolescence and things he went through that he never came to terms with. And, you know, realizing your parents are human beings and they were human beings before they became parents and they have their own skeletons in the closet. This whole conversation has just reminded me of a meme that I'm going to read out, because when I saw it, I was like, wow, who has come for my neck today? So like the meme is like a mother and a daughter sitting on a sofa together watching TV. But just for the purposes of this conversation, imagine it's a daughter and her father. And the father says, why can't we ever talk to each other openly? And the daughter said, for us to bond like that, I need you to acknowledge a lot of things you did to me as a child that truly hurt me and still do to this day. I don't want you to go through that level of guilt and discomfort though. But that also means part of me will always resent you for making those mistakes. It's probably easier to pretend neither of us are hurt by this. And then the next frame, the mum's like, oh, I like this show. And the daughter's like, yeah, I thought you would. That is me and my dad.
Yeah,
wow. There's so many things that like are just like I don't want to hurt him, so I don't go there. But then by not doing it, I hurt myself.
Yeah.
And that is a very complicated aspect of forgiveness, because I think I have forgave him because the older I've got, the more I've understood who he is as a person, especially taking into consideration our parents were from a generation where mental health was just like, wasn't even on the table, like wasn't even like a thing to consider, whereas we're being a lot more open to that and PTSD and trauma and et cetera, et cetera. So I've become more understanding and I've had to forgive in order to protect my own peace. But there's definitely lots of stuff which has been unsaid, I think, on both our sides.
Mm. I think it's interesting that you say that, yeah, because... sometimes I'll be watching like these deep programs or these deep shows and I'll message my dad and be like, dad, I watched this today and made me think about when XYZ happened to you or when XYZ happened to us. Can we talk about it one day? And he's always like, yeah, of course, when you're ready. Like, when you're ready, when you're ready. But he's never ever prompted to have that conversation. And I think neither have I. Do you get what I mean? And like, when I'm listening to you reading like what you just read out, the meme, it really reminded me of the fact that we've never done it. And I feel like I haven't done it because I'm scared for what's going to come out. Do you get what I mean? Like, I'm scared of like, it's a weird one because I know that on the other side of that conversation is a lot of peace and there's a lot of clarity. So I should want to rush to do it. But I feel like I know, it's a bit like when we had that episode of Vix and we was talking about therapy. And I was like, I know that once I start talking, I'm going to have to deal with a lot of stuff that I've maybe, that I feel like I've dealt with or that I've buried or that he's buried. Do you get what I mean? And like having a conversation with your dad, in my opinion, obviously, I don't know about you guys' relationships, but for me, it seems a bit more harder than to have it with my mum because if I had a conversation with my mum and she cried, we'd probably just hug. Do you get what I mean? Or like, it would seem more natural because I'm stereotyping her because she's a woman. Whereas if I had a conversation with my dad and he cried, I don't know what the hell I would do.
Mm.
And also, it would just seem so alien-like because I've never seen him in such a vulnerable position. Do you get what I mean?
It's interesting because I think what, just to speak on that, I think the shift for my dad and I was actually when he got sick. So, I mean, there were steps leading up to it where we had small conversations, but in terms of me really unloading how I felt and then him being able to respond to it in a really like open and honest way. And it was scary. And I think the reason, as you said, I didn't bring it up before, I didn't discuss it before, because he just didn't seem open or vulnerable. And I guess him being sick made him vulnerable or made him seem more vulnerable to me, which made the conversation that much easier to have. And I will say that even though it was hard, I think it definitely, I mean, he's gone now, right? So there's no benefit for him. But for me, just being able to say it out loud definitely made a huge difference, not just in terms of forgiving him, but in terms of being able to reflect on how I forgive other people as well, particularly in the context of like romantic relationships. So you're right. I think there is a lot of peace on the other side. And I think if, you know, one day if anybody gets the bravery to have those discussions, I would definitely encourage that on both sides.
Now, I was just going to say, one of the things that I find really uncomfortable and difficult, and I'm not sure if you had similar experiences, because my dad has always physically been there. Like you mentioned that you and your dad grew up in the same house, and obviously it's the same for me. Like my parents are still together. Like we've always been the same family unit. It's really difficult to like criticize him because you don't want to seem ungrateful, because he's always been there for me as a father should be in the physical sense, like always made sure I was fed and I was healthy and financially stable and whatever. And then people would say, oh, you're such a daddy's girl. And I'd be like, bro, if you knew. And it's just really uncomfortable because it's everyone knew. And it's really uncomfortable to like criticize a parent who is doing everything a parent on paper should do.
It's meant to be. Yeah. No, I hear that because I feel like there's a lot. I've got a lot of friends who, growing up, I just always assumed was close with their mums because their mums would come to parents' evening or do the things that mums are meant to do, quote unquote, or expected to do. And like when I talk to them now, they're like, I hate my mum, or we have a toxic relationship, or I haven't spoken to her properly in the last 3 years. The house has been tense, but when you're in their environment, it feels like it's fine because obviously everyone puts on that brave mask. Do you get what I mean? And I think that it's interesting because I think, as you said earlier, I think it was Liv that said it, about being a parent and that these people are, they're human beings, they're gonna make mistakes, they're gonna, you know, it's not gonna be a smooth sailing. But I think there's so much responsibility that comes on them. And I think it gets easier, or in my experience, it's weird. For me, I feel like as I go older, I clock bare things that were fucked like when I was younger. But then I also clock bare things where I'm like, wow, you did that at this age. Do you know what I mean? Like, oh, I'm this age and you had to endure all of that, or you experienced all of that. Or like the contrary, where it's like, I can't explain it, what I'm trying to say. I lost my train of thought. But what I'm saying is that like sometimes I think I feel like it's sometimes 50-50 of where you can see why the person is acting like that. But then because you have so much expectations on them as the father or the mum, it's like hard to forgive them because it's like, but you're my dad.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think...
Does that make sense?
No, that made perfect sense. I think just to respond to Liv's point about, you know, growing up with your dad, and yeah, on surface, my dad did do all of the things like your dad in terms of he was at my sports days and he came to my recitals and he was just physically present. We had dinner together every night. We had a very like quintessential conservative family setting. But I think for me, the discussion was more important because the truth is that you're hurt. You know what I mean? And I think if you approach it as in the sense like you're not criticizing him. So for me, when I was actually ready to have that conversation, every conversation prior, I recognized that I was criticizing him and I was like shouting and screaming and being angry. Whereas when we actually sat down and had the conversation or the series of conversations where I came to a better understanding of who he was and I guess vice versa, it was more like, Dad, how come this happened? Or do you know that we all feel this way and we don't really know why we feel this way? Do you know that we feel this way? Like, how do you feel about it? And it was more of an exchange rather than me just like offloading on him. Because it's really not criticizing him, right? Because you love him and you think he's a good dad. But there are just things that are unsettled or unfinished that you want to get off your chest.
This is the Dope Black Women podcast.
So, I mean, having said that, how do you guys feel about forgiveness? How has forgiveness translated for you in your romantic relationships, past and present?
Where do you want to start? The trauma or the trauma? I mean,
so what is a situation that sticks out to you where you've forgiven someone and did you do it because you wanted to or did you do it because you felt like you had to?
I feel like I find it quite easy to forgive, you know, like really, really easy to forgive. I feel like I'm very like empathetic, where I think my issues, I'm actually too forgiving.
You are very forgiving.
So like for every scenario that happens, I'll be like, this person might have done this because of that. So if someone was like really rude, I'll be like, they're probably having a bad day. They might have other stuff going on in their personal life. Do you get what I mean? So like if you send me a text message, I'm going off track here of what I was trying to say. What did you say again?
Just about like an example that sticks out to your forgiveness in your romantic relationships.
The one I have is a bit deep. Yeah, I need to go first. Let me try to think of a different one.
But I agree with Ishan. You are a very forgiving person. I don't know if you're too forgiving. Obviously, that's for you to say. But you are a very forgiving person. I think for me, in terms of friendships and relationships. Friendships is a hard one because I think I can literally say that I've only fallen out with one of my friends and it was in relation to a relationship that I was in. So I think it was more about the relationship rather than the friendship itself. But yeah, in terms of relationships, it's funny, when I started therapy, one of the things that I did was I went back to two of my most significant exes and I said to them, what was the most difficult thing about dating me? Like, because I was trying to navigate this last relationship that I was in and kind of where I went wrong or what I could have done differently. And both of them said, you are literally the most unforgiving person I've ever met. Like,
really?
They were like, you are very open. Like, because when I meet people, I give them faith. What's the terminology?
The benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, I give them the benefit of the doubt. But once you cross that line and I feel like I can't trust you anymore, it is so hard for me to get back to a place where I feel like we can move forward. And that's something that I need to work on. And I'm sure it stems from daddy issues, as you said, Liz, that we clearly all have. And mommy issues, actually, because my mom was extremely unforgiving. And I saw that in the context of my parents' relationship. And I think sometimes now I have to find the balance because I also don't want to become who she was in terms of being so forgiving that I just let people walk all over me in the context of relationships.
Yeah.
But then also finding the balance of being able to say, okay, this person genuinely has done enough to make things right and I need to let this go and forgive them. And it's interesting.
Do a lot of the people around, the people that you have around you that are close to you, what are they like when it comes to forgiveness?
I think most of them are, in the context of relationships, most of them are cut and dry. Like, I've stayed much longer in relationships where people are like, actually, you should have left ages ago.
Because I definitely think that plays a part, you know?
Yeah, it probably does, because people, you listen to the people that are around you, right? Like, you take
advice. And you see certain things. Like, I've got a friend, one of my closest friends, and she forgave me for something, yeah? That if the roles are reversed, I wouldn't have forgiven her for.
Mm.
And if you know how sick our friendship is, like how lit it is, it wasn't like, at the time when this happened, it wasn't nowhere near how sick it is now or lit it is now. So there was no real, like, in my opinion, I don't know, hopefully she doesn't, this is getting salted, but in my opinion, there wasn't as much of a reason to hold on to the friendship as there is, like, if it happened now. Mm. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
But, like, she did. And I always look back to that day and just think, if she can forgive me for that, who am I? Like, do you get what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's true.
I can't explain it, but that scenario, it really, that isolated situation, it really, and the thing is, it's funny because when I think about it now, she's actually not a very forgiving person. she's actually not when I deep it. Maybe she prayed and God told her a message, I don't know. But when I think about it now, I'm so happy she did forgive me in that situation because she's literally like such a big part of who I am today. Do you get what I mean? And our relationship's transformed, like, so much now. And when I look at that scenario, it really inspires me when it comes to forgiving other people, because I know that that decision wouldn't have been easy. So for her to do that, it shows a lot about, like, her heart. Do you get what I mean?
Is there an element where you feel like if you forgive someone and they do it again, it's just going to be too impactful on you?
Romantic. I think when it comes to romantic situations, yeah, but not when it comes to friendships.
Liz, what about you? How do you manage forgiveness in other areas?
So, I mean, with romantic relationships, I definitely had... So Josh is kind of the first real serious relationship I've had where we've both delved into trauma in our past and both had to acknowledge how our childhoods have impacted our approach to relationships, and that's been really, really helpful and really, really good. And it was something I never really even done before. So I remember one of my exes, I think I was 19. So we broke up. Well, he dumped me.
just being honest.
But it's a joke because he cheated on me and then he broke up with me. Hello, hell.
Oh, asshole.
That is a very big L.
It's the biggest L of all time. Anyway, so we broke off, cooled things off, and then maybe 6 months later, he came crawling back.
As they do.
And he was like, you know, I'm really sorry. I really want to work things out, or at least talk to you and at least, you know, be civil with each other. There's so much I want to explain to you. Rata. And I was like, no, goodbye. I don't forgive you and I don't care. And I'm not like, I don't want to talk to you ever again. And then about 6 months after that, I don't know what it was. I think I was scrolling through Instagram and I saw his picture or something. And I was like, do you know what? I really did love this boy and I feel like I need to forgive him in order to find peace within myself. It's that thing about, you know, how people say jealousy is swallowing poison and hoping the other person dies. I feel like not forgiving someone has the same kind of element to it. So I realized that in order to truly move past the relationship and find peace within myself, I had to forgive him. So I messaged him and I was like, look, let's grab a drink. I know there's some things you want to say, there's some things I want to say, and maybe we can come to some kind of better understanding of each other. And it was a really mature conversation. And at the end of it, I was like, you know, like, I do forgive you. And I felt so much more at peace after that conversation.
You know what's funny is that I literally have done the same thing and the response has been completely different.
Oh, no.
So I was going out with this guy for a long time. He also cheated on me and then dumped me.
What? The audacity
but then
of men.
Then started dating the girl that he cheated on me with.
Stop it now.
Shan knows who I'm talking about already.
In my head, I was like, do I know? Then I was like, let me just be quiet.
You know. So anyway, months passed by. I blocked him off of everything, whatever, whatever. And then I said, you know what? I feel like I've forgiven him. let me unblock. I don't need to engage, but let me just stop the anger and the hatred for myself. Comes back. He's like, you know, I really miss you. I want to talk things through.
Of course he misses you. We should talk about...
We should... We should figure things out. Let's see what can happen. So I was like, cool. Let's have a conversation. Start having this conversation. We're chatting. Things felt like normal, like back to how it was when we were dating. And I was like, all right, cool. At least maybe we can get to a place where maybe we could get back together down the line. But, you know, at least we're starting from a place of friendship. Uh-huh. So I was like, okay, well, let's talk about what you wanted to talk about. Mute. Deaf, dumb, blind. No words out of his mouth for like 10, 15 minutes. And I'm like, so where is this conversation going? What's happening? Nothing. And he was just like, it just went back to normal. For me, now it's about how you demonstrate the intention of wanting forgiveness. Like, you need to be really genuine and authentic and be like certain about... There's actually something that the Dope Black Dads posted about how to apologize. And it's like stating what you've done wrong, giving the person space to vent or to say how they feel, and then actually making a tangible plan as to how you're going to seek forgiveness or how you're going to make amends. And so I think it's really easy for people to say, I'm sorry, but how are you going to make it better? You know, if you want to maintain a friendship or a relationship with me in whatever capacity, whether it's a friend or a boyfriend, I think I need to see like actual behaviors that show that you've changed before we can even have a discussion about like Liv's and her ex had.
And I think that's because forgiveness is meant to breed peace. Like, you forgive someone, you're at peace. And I guess unless someone gives you that clarity you need, which might be physical, which might be emotional, or in whatever sense, but when someone actually acts different or actually shows amends, like what you was just saying, then you can be at peace with it, because you're like, you're not telling yourself, oh, this person isn't going to do it again. You've seen them. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah, there's a certainty.
Like, you're not, do you get what I mean?
Yeah, there's a certain level of... There's a certainty that you have that this person has actually changed. It's not just words.
But on that note of apologising, you know there's that the five love language.
Oh, yeah.
Have you heard of that list?
I've heard like people tweet, they're like, blah blah is my love language, but I didn't know there were five official
when you go onto it, it's nothing about that, so you don't need to know what it is technically for the context, but that like brand or company or whatever, when you go onto their site, they now have quizzes, so they've got a quiz for like anger and for apologizing.
I've done the apologizing one
the other day with the guy that I'm seeing or whatever. So first of all, I don't know how we ended up with the same thing, but like, no, let me not be negative. Let me start again. So anyway, I'd done the quiz with the guy that I'm seeing, and then it made me really understand like how they do, why they do certain things, and vice versa. Do you get what I mean? So like sometimes someone will try to amend something or apologize, but it's not in the way that you understand an apology to be. So I was just gonna say those quizzes are actually quite useful because it makes me. It's made things a lot more easier.
So I took the love languages test, but I didn't know that there was one for apologies and anger. I'm definitely going to check that out.
Yeah, it was really interesting. Although what his result was, I don't think he does. But anyway, we move.
But what do you do when the person isn't there to give you closure? Like if the person's passed away, or I don't know if you've ever experienced this, Liv, where the person is just not, like suppose that guy had never come back to you, like, or he was just never in contact. How do you find the forgiveness without the person giving you that?
I mean, it goes back to closure, right? And closure isn't always something you're going to receive on your terms, and that can be a really hard pill to swallow.
Very hard.
But you're at the end of the day, you're only cursing your own peace and your own future peace by wishing for something that may not even happen. So someone could... And it can happen both ways as well. So, like, you can apologise and someone can be like, I don't forgive you. That's a hard pill to swallow as well.
Yeah.
So...
Oh, I haven't had that yet. God, yeah, I don't want that one.
Because you're like, damn, this didn't go how far it go.
Like, just forgive me.
Yeah. So I think the person who's been hurt should be the person in control. But sadly, like, it's a situation where... it relies on both people to be on the same page, and that doesn't always happen. So, you know, I could really want someone who's hurt me to apologize, and apologize, going back to love languages, apologize in a way that is up to my standard, and that might just never come. And equally, you can apologize to someone and they could be like, it isn't good enough. I'm not satisfied. So, yeah, I mean, closure is a weird one because closure is overrated, boy. It's never going to happen how you planned it to.
So how do you guys apologize? Like, what is a good apology for you?
Do you know what? Yeah. I don't know. Because the other day I had a conversation with one of my friends who we fell out. I don't even know when we fell out, but not for that long. And what happened was, it was like the situation with Liv that Liz spoke about. So she had sent me a message and she was explaining like things that she thought that she felt like I had done wrong. But she had never communicated these to me over a long period of time. Do you get what I mean? And I really hate stuff like that. So when I read the message, I was like, I haven't got time for this. And then kind of just left it. But also, I could also tell from her message, she didn't really have time for it either. Do you get what I mean? And then...
So do you think she was like, do you think in her head she's like, well, I apologise. Even if it was a really rough...
No, but it wasn't even like that. This is at the stage of conflict. So, like, I've messaged her, like, normally, and then she's messaged me back, like, a bit confused while I'm being normal. Do you get what I mean? And then after some time, she sent me this paragraph explaining all these things that I had done wrong. But I'm saying, like, this is the issue with forgiveness is because she had built it up this whole time rather than saying anything, by the time she got to that conversation, she wasn't even trying to hear my side. Do you get what I mean? She just wanted to let it out, and that was it. And then from my perspective, because you've held this in for the whole time, I didn't even have the energy. Because where I was at that time, I didn't have the energy to have that sort of conversation. Do you get what I mean? But then it was like time passed on, and it came to International Women's Day, just gone in March. And on Snapchat, it does this thing where it tells you, like, a year ago what you posted. And a year ago, I must have posted something about her that was, like, proper, like, a long message just saying how lit she is, basically. And it just made me think, like, if something happened to her, I would never forgive myself for not reaching out to trying to make peace, even though she really showed me she didn't want to have peace. Do you get what I mean? And then, like, I messaged her. I sent her a screenshot of the Snapchat. And I was like, I just want to say that everything's good on my side. Something like, I can't remember what I said, but something like, I just want to say that everything's good on my side, and I'm thankful for all the times that you was there. And then she ended up calling me. And then from then, we've just been back to normal. Do you get what I mean? And it's like, no one had to say, I'm sorry or I forgive you, but clearly we was forgiven. And then there was a time when we was talking on the phone and I said to her, like, do you want to have a conversation about what happened? And she was like, to be honest, I don't really think we need to, but if you want to, we can have it. And then we ended up having one. And it was just like the best thing ever because we had it in a space where we was both ready to have it in. We'd already forgiven each other. So it was just about understanding. So like when I messaged her, because you know that when you type, yeah? Like I type a lot. So things come up in this long paragraph. It says read more. Like when you're beefing your friends, yeah? Or there's conflict that you see read more, you naturally get defensive when you're reading it. Doesn't matter who you are, you naturally, your guard's up. So I send a message and I put another message and I said, disclaimer, I sent her a voice note, I think, and I was like, just so you know, this was written in this tone. I'm on good vibes, good energy, but this is not about me accusing you. She's about me getting my point across. And in her response, before she started, she said the same thing. Just so you know, it's not me being defensive. I'm just responding to what you said. And we was able to really come to an understanding that everything was just over miscommunication. And we was able to then even say, like, okay, moving forward, I need you to be more... this and I need you to be more that. Do you get what I mean? And now I can hand on my heart and say that situation will probably never arise again. But it came from like having to take time out for us to forgive each other and then having a conversation with, like, afterwards. I'm making sense. I got a really bad migraine this whole podcast. So every minute I'm like, I'm making sense.
No, you are.
No, you're making sense, yeah. It's really interesting what you said, Shan, actually, because for me, I think sometimes when we're in the mode of forgiveness or wanting to be forgiven or wanting an apology, it's all about time. Like, how quickly are they going to do it? And for me, sometimes urgency is a sign of forgiveness or intention. But actually, you're right, and I agree with you. Sometimes people just need time to let the anger go before they're able to have that conversation. And so that's actually really interesting. But and so maybe that's the biggest thing I've learned about forgiveness today, is that time heals most things. And if you give things enough time, you can find forgiveness. Any final thoughts, guys? What's the biggest thing you've learned about forgiveness just in general over the years?
I'd probably say that sometimes it's a selfish way to look at it. But, you know, I'm all about my own psyche and my own mental health. But forgiveness is about your own peace of mind sometimes. So, but change the power dynamic. If Rosie and Tim have an argument and Rosie decides to forgive Tim, Rosie. It's not better for Tim, it's better for Rosie. Do you get what I mean? Because the peace of mind she has, the way her heart feels, the way her mental state feels, is so much better than her having this resentment in her heart towards Tim. Do you get what I mean? I think a lot of people look at forgiveness as it's a benefit for the other person.
Or that you're giving
it's
up.
It's actually not. Or you're giving up, or you're weak, or that they're winning. It's not about winning. When your psyche is good and you're in a good place, you're the real MVP. You are the real winner. Do you get what I mean? And the Bible tells you, that if he sins against you seven times in a day and comes back to you seven times, then you got to say, I repent and forgive him each time. Yeah? All right. My G, you're done that. You're done, though.
Big up, Rosie. I guess that was the final thing that I would just add is understand what your own terms are and what your own lines are, because there may be things that you think, you know, I can never forgive this person for something, and that's okay as well. Like, you don't always have to take the moral high ground and be the bigger person. Fuck being the bigger person sometimes. Like, and sometimes, like, if someone has really hurt you, you don't have to pretend that you're okay with it. You can be like, actually, no, I haven't forgiven you, until either they prove that they really understand where you're coming from, or maybe that moment never happens. And I think that for a lot of women, that translates into relationships where they're like, he's changed. He ain't changed. He's just apologized again and he bought you flowers. We've been down this road before. So, forgiveness, definitely knowing what
he
it means on your own.
You bought your favourite milkshake. All right, stop triggering me.
Yeah, I hate empty gestures. Empty gestures are the worst. Like, don't buy me flowers when you cheated on me. How is that going to help? Tell me you're going to go to therapy. Tell me you're going to, you know, be more transparent in your behaviour. Sending me my favourite snacks is not a way to demonstrate change.
To act, they did, yeah.
Yeah, it has to be something personal and something that's specific to the problem at hand. Yeah, it can't just be like, there's this meme of this guy wearing like a sign on his chest and he's like, I cheated on my wife and this is my punishment.
That's so embarrassing for both of them.
I think so, yeah.
And she's proper smiling, cheesing ear to ear.
And that's an example of what I'm saying. Like, the forgiveness is about power in that sense. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah, I was like, that's more embarrassing because for you than it is for me. Good. It's like, yeah, you cheated.
Him wearing that ridiculous top. It's ridiculous. Like, forgiveness is meant to be sincere. She doesn't have no sincerity. You're forgiving. You're trying to forgive him, but you're making him walk around to be laughed at and be somewhat abused or whatever by people that are going to bump into him. It's not about that. Like, as I said at the very start of the conversation, you can't forgive someone and bring it back up. That those are the worst types of people. I'd rather you just stay bitter in your heart, bitter babe.
Yeah, to me, that's not forgiveness. That's just control. Like, you just literally want to make that person suffer.
Yeah, it's mad at you.
Anyway, guys, this was a very intense, cathartic, deep, triggering conversation.
We had some daddy issues to this, to that.
I feel like I've genuinely learned a lot from this conversation, just in terms of how you guys manage forgiveness and how I can incorporate that into my own space. So thanks, guys. I feel like this was really helpful to my personal trauma that I'm going through right now, actually.
Glad we could help.
But thanks.
This session will be £20 if you just want to PayPal me. That'd be great.
Look, I don't have a therapist right now because I can't afford one. So this is my only form of therapy, okay?
It's all right. Each week we'll talk about something else that can help you with your sessions. This is Dope Black Chat.
So this week on the Dope Black Chat, we're discussing something that's been coming up a lot on Twitter recently, very much in the vein of cancel culture. We see that people have been pulling up old clips of America's Next Top Model with Tyra Banks and showing some really problematic behavior about the way she treated some of the women that came on the show, particularly around kind of physical appearance. So there's one girl, for instance, that is chastised because she has a gap tooth, which I personally take offense to. And then there's stuff where she's like telling women to be more Afrocentric, but then simultaneously putting women in blackface, which is absolutely insane. So I don't know if you guys have seen this stuff that's been on Twitter.
Yeah, there's been so many mad things. Like, it's like one episode she was like, you know, you're never going to make it if you're not willing to, like, experiment with your hair. And she made her cut it all off for nothing. Like, for one round, for one episode. That's mad, you know. Her whole head gone. Now she's bald.
Was she white?
I can't remember what she was.
Most of the women... most of the women that get their hair cut on that show end up crying or leaving the show at some point in time, I feel like. But it's funny because Leanne, our producer, said this earlier. I remember watching this when I was growing up, and there is legit an episode where she makes white women model as African Americans or Polynesians or whatever. And I was like, it didn't even register to me that that was blackface at the time. And I'm like, how old was I? What was I thinking? How was this allowed on national television and embraced? It's so crazy to me. But I'm wondering if she did it because she felt like she needed to do it to be successful, or whether she just didn't have the awareness at the time as a black woman. You know, it's like, how much pressure was she under to make this work?
I don't know. I suppose because there wasn't many black women on television, it's almost like she was given a free pass to do things that, looking back, were definitely problematic. But it's because she was one of so few faces that were recognizable to, you know, women like us, that we were willing to overlook things she did that was problematic, because some of the stuff was really, really out there. Like, and she was such a drama queen as well, like a proper theater kid. She was forever pretending to faint or that she had some kind of disease or condition, and like, she was just moving mad. Like, I remember there was one episode, yeah, obviously, all the girls who get in, they get an envelope and it has a picture of their face in it. And it's like, right, you're through to the next challenge. And the girls who don't get in, they open the envelope and it's just a plain white piece of paper. And obviously, they're really upset. And then after all that trauma, and after the girls who didn't get in have kind of acknowledged, okay, fine, this is the end of the road for me, she says, just kidding. And the girls who have the plain white piece of paper have got through to the next challenge. And the girls who have their picture are out. Like, she's just fucking with people left, right, and center.
No, but that, to be honest, that is TV. Like, that's probably producers.
Yeah. But she did do some things that kind of advanced the culture, right? So she was the first person to bring Takara, that plus size black model, one year, I think. I don't remember which year it was. But she went on to have a really successful career, and I would arguably say that she was one of the first darker-skinned, full-figured models to, like, really break through in the industry. Like, she had a... I think she was on the front cover of Vogue and all this kind of stuff. So, I mean, and I think she attributes that success to Tyra, whereas, obviously, there are other women like Yaya, who's also successful in terms of being an actress, for sure. And I think that other girl as well. What's the girl that has vitiligo, who's quite popular? Winnie Harlow. Yeah. Both of them have said that ANTM actually was to their detriment in terms of their career. So, yeah, both of them have come out and said, like, Tyra didn't help me. So I don't know. It's a tricky one. But, yeah, people are pulling up these videos, and honestly, they're scary, but they're also mildly entertaining, because I can't believe somebody would be so, like, she's so crazy. Anyway, so I think that's us for now. So thanks so much for listening, guys. Don't forget to rate and subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts from. On Twitter and Instagram, we are Dope Black Woman 1, and on Facebook, we're just Dope Black Woman. We will be back with you next week, but until then, stay blessed and unapologetically black.
All the way black.
Blackity black. Blacktastic.
Blacktastic. I kind of like that we don't say it in sync. I think it's quite cute. Like, obviously, we're over Zoom, and it kind of adds to it. It adds to the authenticity.